kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm alive. It's barely rainy, and it's kind of cold, and they're giving snow, and so that's like the height of what I'm capable of is just being alive.
That and you're sick again.
That is also true, though I am on the upswing, and I am far better today than I've been the last three.
Well, that's good.
And considering how I currently sound, you can realize how bad it really was. I had some kind of like cold / sinus infection thing going on. So my face would like leak. I'd be sitting there playing a game and my husband's like, "Are you okay? Why are you crying?" And I'm like, "I have no control. There's just tears rolling down my face. I look like the Binding of Isaac kid."
Oh God.
There's just tears and I have no control whatsoever. But I seem to be doing a lot better now.
That's good. I was sick last episode. I'm on the upswing from that as well. So
yay.
We're both doing okay, I guess.
Hurrah.
Hurrah. You want to know why else I'm in a good mood today?
Why are you in a good mood, Joe?
Because I found orange vanilla Coke.
Is it good?
It is delicious.
I'm really tempted to try it.
It tastes like a creamsicle Coke.
So when they had a Sonic here in town, I used to love to get all kinds of different flavors added with vanilla to my Dr. Pepper. We don't have Sonic anymore. They closed our Sonic.
Aw.
So I can't do cool shit like that anymore. I should really like find some syrups or something. I'm sure you could just straight up buy those somewhere if I looked hard enough. But the next best thing is trying random flavored Cokes, because Dr. Pepper doesn't get as unruly with their flavors as I wish they would.
Yeah, I miss when they used to do different flavors with Dr. Pepper. I miss Dr. Pepper.
See, now I don't like that one as much, but it's just too sweet for me.
I like when it's made with real sugar.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I thought I was going to love it. Like, I've hollered for years I'd love to try Dublin Dr. Pepper, but...
Dublin Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, apparently, like, it was a big deal because it's a Dr. Pepper plant down in Texas where they made it with real sugar all the time and everything. And after they did the heritage or whatever it was, I was like, you know, maybe it wasn't for me after all. Like, David offered 1 year. He was going to get it for me for my birthday. It was going to be like $40 just to ship a 12-pack of it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And he was like, "If you want it." And I was like, I'm not that unruly in this world that I need to pay $40 shipping on a 12-pack of pop.
That's not as bad as me wanting to import Pepsi Blue from like Malaysia or wherever the fuck they have it.
That where is.
It's a minimum $250 or 250 bottle order.
Oh.
And it's minimum 250 bottles. And shipping, flat shipping, is $200.
Oof.
Doc Hagler, I thought it was Thailand. It might be Thailand. I don't remember.
Oh, man.
But Pepsi Blue still exists in the world.
That's crazy. I get number one, these Tokyo treat boxes. And every now and then, they'll have funky flavored drinks thrown into them. If you cough up and pay for the premium box. The premium boxes are $10 more, but they come with the cool drinks. There was one she got a while ago. It was some kind of pop, but it was like... It was like a mango kiwi something
kind of. That sounds good.
It was crazy. And I'm just like, she's like, "This is amazing." I was like, "Ew."
I like the Twisted Mango Diet Coke that they have. Have you tried any of those Diet Coke flavors, the special ones that they have?
I have not, but I've seen them and I've considered them. There was one, I think, that had lime or something in it, and I'm...
Ginger lime. That one was
okay. Yeah, that would be one I would be inclined to try. Because I love anything.
Blood orange gave me heartburn like a motherfucker. Feisty cherry was eh. Twisted mango I thought was really good. The ginger lime was okay. They just came out with two new flavors, and they are both pretty goddamn amazing. The first one is blueberry acai, or whatever that fucking word is. A-C-A-I.
Acai, I think it is.
Acai, S-I-E, whatever it is. Yeah. Blueberry, basically.
Yeah.
It is really, really good. And then strawberry guava. It is sublime. Oh, my God. It is so delicious.
So you're going to be heartbroken when those don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I will. Just like I'm heartbroken that strawberry Mountain Dew, it hasn't been around for years because it's, you know, awful people at Mountain Dew who gave us a Voltage instead of Supernova, you dicks.
But at least it's got a cool name.
I thought Supernova was a cooler name than Voltage.
I guess in a way.
It's Supernova.
Depends what kind of nerd you are, I guess.
Strawberry Melon Mountain Dew. How could you ever get rid of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd probably address. I don't remember trying that one. Maybe I did, but I don't remember it.
It was pink.
Was it?
Yep.
I had to have tried it at some point. Like, I naturally gravitate toward pink items. I didn't like the color pink till I had had kids, and then it's like, well, fuck. Now I just
guess have I have to now.
Yeah, and now, like, it's, I don't know, for some odd reason, I'm like, whatever, give me the pink one. It's not even my favorite color, and people are like, oh my god, I bet you love pink, and I'm like, eh.
Was it better. Yellow?
Yeah, yellow's my favorite color.
Yeller, sorry, yeller.
The my funny bad. Thing, like, green is awful, though. Fuck green. I don't care who that offends. We're going to lose, like, two whole viewers.
We don't have viewers. What are you saying?
And we're going to lose half a viewer.
Yeah, that's more accurate. Doc Havoc is just, like, tuning out right now.
Yep, sounds about right.
He's still going to be in chat. He just won't be listening.
Okay, I don't say anything of value anyway.
Me neither. Anyway, speaking of things of value, we should probably tackle the news of the week.
We should. There's a lot.
There is a lot. Probably the big news of the week, Pokemon Sword and Shield were announced for the Switch for a late 2019 release. It is Generation 8, so it's a whole new mainline Pokemon game coming to home console, finally. They announced the three starters of Grookey, which I believe is a leaf Pokemon, Sobble, which is a water Pokemon, and Scorbunny, who has taken the internet by storm.
Yeah, I have seen Scorbunny, and I did not understand why this was a thing.
I saw someone drew a fat Scorbunny and called it Scorchungus, and I thought I just lost it.
That sounds like something Shiz would send to me.
Scorchungus.
I might have to go look it up and find it and send it to him first.
Or send it to me. I'll use it as an emote. Scorchungus. So yeah, new Pokemon game coming. I'm pretty excited. I'm probably going to give this one a shot. I've dabbled in the Pokemon games over the years, never really got too hooked into them, but now that it's on a mainline console and I don't have to stare at a 3-inch screen, I'll give it a go.
I've never played Pokemon.
No, never.
Never. Not even Pokemon Go.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. I recognize them, and I want to see Detective Pikachu, but only because I like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, God.
So, you know.
Oh, boy. Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus were announced for March.
Fucking finally.
Yeah. They announced them in, like, the same day the game started being available on Xbox.
I was like, I kept looking, going, did I miss something? Was there an announcement? Are we not getting Games with Gold? What is this shit? I spent all last week looking for the Games with Gold.
I am legitimately excited about this month's Games with Gold.
Yeah.
Because out of the four games, I don't own two of them.
That's got to be a new record.
For me, yeah. Especially when they're not giving away a brand new release.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
But on Xbox One, from March 1st through the 31st is Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion. Hopefully I said that right. Didn't own that one, so that's cool.
Right.
And then March 16th... Oh, go ahead.
I don't own that one either. I am not an Adventure Time fan, so I don't know.
No?
I've heard that... I think Coley said it was a fairly easy completion.
Probably.
Yeah.
Adventure Time games are never super difficult, so...
Nah.
March 16th through April 15th, I'm excited about this one. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. So the online population should see a nice boost.
I'm surprised you did. Did you already have this one?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. I actually don't.
Really?
And I came really close because it was on sale for like $6. And I was like, oh, I should buy that for the girls. They loved the first one, but they had it on 360. And when the 360 died, we just never replaced it because we had the one in number one's room. And they play on that all the time. And I was like, meh. And then she said something the other day. She was like, oh, I miss playing Plants vs. Zombies. And I was like, son of a bitch. And then it was on sale. And I was like, I can rectify this. And then I just forgot. And now I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Now all you got to do is wait 2 more weeks and it's free.
Yeah. It'll be like, surprise, look what I got you.
Ah. Merry Christmas.
So, yeah, save money.
Good way to do it. Xbox 360, March 1st through the 15th, is Star Wars Republic Commando, which I didn't own, so that's cool.
Is that 360 or is that an original Xbox game?
OG Xbox.
Okay, I thought it was.
Yeah, but I didn't own it, so hooray. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now I do.
Fill up that backlog, baby.
Goddamn right. And then the 16th through the 31st, the rest of the month, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. That's David a hell of a lineup.
Yeah, David will be tickled because he likes Metal Gear.
So. Yeah, that's a pretty solid lineup for Xbox for March. I am excited with that. Good offerings.
Indeed.
PlayStation Plus also announced for March. Mm-hmm. And it's the first month without PS3 or PSV, PS Vita games. So, they went from 6 games down to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shortened our news segments.
Yeah, really. I'm kind of bummed that they didn't add more PS4 games. I mean,
I thought that they would try to, like, at least one more to fluff it out, but...
Like, add in one more, add in a VR title or something. Just give some kind of bonus for dropping your games from 6 to 2. I mean, granted, the quality of the games is pretty decent, as long as you're into these two games, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
I was kind of surprised by that, and then I wasn't, because Activision's so far up PlayStation's ass. But I am bummed out because I would like for us to get that for free on Xbox.
I mean, you can get it fairly cheap now.
I know, but I don't buy games. Because if I do buy it, then it turns around and becomes Games with Gold.
There you go.
Or it winds up in Game Pass.
I don't think Call of Duty is going to wind up in Game Pass.
Never. Absolutely never.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. And then the other game that is being given away for PlayStation Plus is The Witness.
I could have swore that that was a PlayStation Plus game before.
No, I think it was a Games with Gold, wasn't it?
I'm fairly certain it was Games with Gold because I have it, and I didn't review it. But for some reason, I was very convinced that PlayStation had got that one before us.
I mean, it released on PS4 before Xbox, but I'm pretty sure they didn't give it away already. If they did, there'd be a lot of stink about it.
Yeah, I know that people were throwing a stink anyway, because they were disappointed that, you know, of course, they're not getting as many games. And it seemed to be, like, there were some like, oh, everybody that would play Call of Duty already has it, which I don't know that that's particularly true, but the
I think a good number of people who would want to play Call of Duty probably already own it.
It's a very small number, but not everybody.
Especially because they released it with, what was the one that they included it with?
Infinite Warfare.
Infinite Warfare, although, and then they sold it by itself.
Yeah, Infinite Warfare was decidedly unsuccessful as far as the Call of Duty goes.
But still, people bought Infinite Warfare just for Modern Warfare just Remastered. Just for
money, because they didn't know. Yeah.
And then Modern Warfare Remastered was released by itself, and now they're giving it away. So.
Damn.
Yeah, I think the winner for the month is obviously Xbox. Not only on the lineup of games, but the quantity of games. I think it's just better all around on Xbox this month.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that PlayStation has just completely dropped PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita games from the lineup. Whereas Xbox is like, oh, you like old games? Well, here's original Xbox. Like, they're really throwing it back.
Yeah.
And PlayStation's like, fuck the old stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting juxtaposition, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I know a lot of people are canceling their PlayStation Plus memberships.
Really?
They're pissed about losing so many games.
I mean, I can understand. That's one of those things where if you're going to start it, you better be committed to keeping that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, you know? So it's going to bite them in the ass.
Tim Ekibis put it the right way, though. He said he's going to give it a few months and see how it goes, because if the quality of games stays high, like Call of Duty and The Witness, he thinks it'll end up just being quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if they keep putting out big games like this, I can understand that. But I don't know. I think these are two games that are either already saturated the market like Call of Duty, or they're just such a niche that not everyone's going to care about The Witness.
That was the other complaint I saw a lot of people having over The Witness. They were, in all reality, there's not a lot of footing for indie games among the kind of people who are going to be paying attention to PlayStation Plus and stuff. Yeah, there's the occasional people like us who are like, oh yeah, there's an indie I don't have. And that's pretty cool. But there's a bigger core group that are going to be like, what's this shit? Whether it's good or not is beside the point. They don't care.
Yeah.
It's just not something they've heard of or are even interested in, because it doesn't go pew pew pew. And so if they're gonna put games like The Witness and stuff in there, and they don't have a big enough offering to kind of placate those that aren't into the smaller indie games, they're gonna struggle. That's just the long and short of it. Regardless of how you actually feel about indie games, when it comes to appeasing the hardcore base that aren't familiar with them, yeah, it's great. I'd love for everybody to see a game like The Witness and go, wow, this is pretty cool, this is something different, and fall in love with it. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's a hardcore, and I would argue it's a disproportionate chunk of gamers who are just going to be like, fuck that, and not even download it.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Which is a shame,
because The Witness games is
a good game.
Yeah, play more games. But, I mean, it's not going to happen.
I think a game like The Witness is the perfect game to give away, because it's a niche title. It's fairly expensive.
Yeah.
But most of all, it's good.
Yeah.
So if people were scared off by the price point, now they don't have to worry about it. They could just get it and try it.
Yeah, I think there's certainly going to be a group that will take advantage of that. I just don't think that they're going to be the vocal majority.
Yeah.
And that's the disappointing part.
And I think losing four games is the disappointing part. Because think how many times we would say, oh, PS3 has this game and it's cross-buy, it has this game and it's cross-buy, Vita has this game and it's cross-buy, this game and it's cross-buy.
That's not to downplay.
There were months where the PS4 would get like five games.
Yeah, easily. So, I mean, I don't discredit that that's an issue in any way. Just that I wish more people would be willing to give a game like The Witness a chance.
Well, hopefully they will.
You know. You're going to be the optimistic one this show. And I'm going to be Debbie Downer the realist.
Well, speaking of downers, the Overkill's Walking Dead saga is finally over.
Yeah.
The game is dead.
You know how much I've been waiting for this game?
I don't know why.
I don't either. Well, because I like the Walking Dead franchise. And I liked Left 4 Dead, and I was hoping that this was a lovely little blend of the two that was just going to satiate something inside of me. And now it's gone!
Yep, now it is dead. Skybound Games has terminated their contract with Starbreeze for The Walking Dead IP, and the console versions of the game are officially canceled. They're still working on how and when they will take care of the Steam release, like whether they're going to keep it up, whether they're going to just refund people. I don't know what's going on with the Steam version. I'm sure we'll find out eventually, though.
Sad face.
Yeah, I'm sure all 40 people that bought it on Steam are pretty upset right now.
Yeah. I guess I should have seen it coming. And I'm not saying I didn't, but I'm still... It's kind of like when Scalebound got canceled, and it's like... I wasn't overwhelmingly hopeful it was going to make it to the end of development, but I was still hoping and looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah.
And so here we were.
I still miss Scalebound. All those rumors.
I'm telling you, I know those rumors are not going to amount to snot, but it's fine.
No, the other rumors, the Game Pass on Switch rumors are just picking up more and more steam. So it seems like that might be a reality eventually. Which would be E3 could be huge for Microsoft. If they announce that at E3, that is like bombshell announcement.
It's true.
Even though people are pretty much expecting it at this point, for Microsoft to come out and be like, hey, you're going to be able to play Halo on the Nintendo Switch.
That will be one of those moments. Like, you know how everybody talks about their favorite moment from when backward compatibility was announced?
Yeah.
And how the people who could see the screen first were like, and you could hear it because everybody else was quiet.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen if they announce Game Pass on. Like, yeah, everybody's got the rumor in theory it's going to be a thing. But to actually have it set in stone, here you go. And you know damn good and well that if they do it, it's going to be one of those, and it's ready now kind of things. Because they want your sweet, sweet $10 a month.
They do. I still think it's a genius idea to do it.
Yeah. And
apparently Microsoft wants to try getting Game Pass on the PS4 as well. If rumors are to be believed, they want to get a Game Pass app on the PS4 as well, which I don't think that one's going to happen. I think Sony's going to end up blocking that. I mean, they wouldn't even let EA Access on the PS4.
Yeah, because it didn't provide enough value.
I wonder if they think Game Pass provides enough value. I checked last night. There are 201 games available in Game Pass right now.
Wow.
200 games in Game Pass. They advertised it as 100.
Yeah, it's true.
It is double what they advertised right now.
Yeah. And it's $10 a month.
Yep. Price is still 10 bucks a month. So, yeah. Basically, this is another advertisement for Game Pass. If you don't have Game Pass...
If you're listening to us and you ain't got Game Pass, you're an idiot.
No, they might not. You know, it might be like Doc Havoc where he doesn't have an Xbox.
Still an idiot, because do you know how many of those games are played anywhere?
Not that many.
More than you think.
Maybe a dozen.
Still more than you think.
I mean, I personally think it's worth 10 bucks a month for fucking Forza.
Yeah.
At least I have proper diction. Oh, God. Look, shots fired.
I can have all the diction I want. Thank you very much.
Wrong diction.
Still works.
Gray Quantum is not an idiot. That's awesome to hear.
Kudos to you.
Oh, let's see. What other news? Some Nintendo release dates were announced this past week. Saints Row the Third, the full package, is going to be hitting the Switch May 10th. And then on May 21st, Resident Evil, Resident Evil 0, and Resident Evil 4 are all hitting at the same time.
Oh, wow. But the Resident Evil 2 remake is not.
No.
It's not coming at all, is it?
To the Switch? Not that I know of, no.
Yeah, because I think they said there was some problems with getting the graphics to
probably
display properly. So, yeah. So at least you're getting some Resident Evil, though.
Yeah, especially 4. That's still my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I love 4.
I'm trying to think if I've ever actually played a Resident Evil other than 2, the remake.
You should play 4.
I feel like I have a bunch of them. I probably do. Because David's a Resident Evil fan. Well, oddly enough. I find that funny because he fusses at me for horror games and he's like, you don't play that shit when I'm around. But he likes Resident Evil.
Well, it depends on the Resident Evil game. Some of them are more action games than they are horror games. Like 5 is just a straight up action game. 6 is a straight up action game.
7. I want 7, but David won't let me buy it. Because we have the rule. Can't buy a game unless we're both going to play it. So,
oh, well.
Yeah. I shall never get to play 7 unless it's like by some grace of whatever deity you do or do not believe in. Makes it games with gold or adds it to Game Pass.
Yeah, you never know. We've seen a couple Resident Evils in Game Pass already, so you never know.
I have to hold out hope because that's the only way I'm ever going to get to play 7.
Oh, man. Last bit of news I have. 2 new games added to the Xbox backward compatible list this week with Hydrophobia and Marathon Durandal. Not great games, but at least they're adding more.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere has found that an uptick in their ready to install.
Yeah, I had Hydrophobia waiting for me. Want to know the shittiest thing about Hydrophobia?
What's that?
It was a $2 game. It went backward compatible. It's now an $8 game. They jacked the price up
4 times.
Yeah, just because it went backward compatible. Lots of companies, when they go backward compatible, they'll put the game on sale. Like when Command and Conquer, when those went backward compatible, they all went half off down to like $7.50.
Damn.
Nope, not Hydrophobia. $2 to $8. So, fuck <That's> you.
Awful.
So nice of them to do that. But yeah, that's the news I got. Anything on your end?
You missed some big ones this week, Joe.
Probably. It's been a long week for me.
THQ and Nordic is in some hot water.
Oh, God, the AMA they did?
Yeah.
Mm.
They didn't ask me anything on 8chan. And the internet rightfully ripped them a new asshole.
Yeah.
I do want to say, though, I think to an extent that not everybody is familiar with all the worst parts of the internet.
Yeah, if you try to stay out of the worst parts of the internet, you're not going to know them by name when someone mentions it.
Right. So I don't think, they did an Ask Me Anything with 8chan was immediately the worst part. Like, okay, they made a mistake. They didn't know it was the worst part of the internet. That's fine. They should do their research better next time.
Mm-hmm.
Where it kind of went off the deep end was during the Ask Me Anything when there were some really horrible comments being made, and whoever was replying to the Ask Me Anything was going along with it. And I don't know if at that point it was they knew what they were agreeing with, but they felt like they were stuck and that's what they were supposed to be doing, or if
that's
they
my guess
feel that way. Like, I want to believe that they were just like, what the fuck have we stepped into? I want to believe, because I am a fan of a lot of THQ Nordic properties.
Well, the guy who did the AMA, Phil Brock, I actually traded a couple emails with him back when we first started doing reviews on the show. And, you know, I messaged THQ.
Yeah.
He was a very nice person. He was very accepting of our show. I don't think that he's a bad person. He's never come across as a bad person. I think it's just he tried to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, and I think it just genuinely snowballed like hell. To an extent, I feel bad for them. I definitely do. They stepped in some hot water.
Yeah, but next time, do your research.
But yeah, consider it a very valuable lesson. And hope like hell you didn't lose any potential investors, because THQ Nordic has gone a long way to try to climb out of the hole they were in. And, you know, they've been buying up properties left and right. They recently acquired Warhorse. Don't want to see them stumble and bust their faces open on 8chan.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a huge. I think by this time next week, people have already forgotten about it.
The last big piece that you missed, and I'm surprised you missed this one. Activision and EA CEOs were on a list of the worst CEOs.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
The list was for CEOs who are overpaid.
Oh, God.
And it limited it to businesses where the CEOs made 300 times more than their employees.
Oh, my Lord.
And Activision and EA both hit that list. Ouch.
Just a little.
Just a little. But, yeah, that was it. You had everything else, but I was surprised you missed those two.
I saw about the AMA. I just didn't know if it was discussion worthy, but
anything is discussion worthy. I have opinions on everything.
Especially diction.
Ian said, didn't Activision lay off a shitload of Blizzard employees? They laid off 800 employees overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something.
Activision are so shitty lately.
Yeah, they're really.
That's a company I would like to see turn around. I think they need new leadership, and they could easily turn themselves around and be a better company. But man, they have made some bad decisions.
Yeah, they have. They're not helping. I think they roll in enough money from Call of Duty that they don't care.
I mean, I'll still never forgive Activision for destroying the rhythm game market.
That is true.
With how they just flooded the market with Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, DJ Hero, Guitar Hero, Band Hero, Guitar Hero. They just flooded the market and they killed the genre. And,
yeah.
You know, Rock Band 4 came out to try and resurrect it. And who's there right behind him? Fucking Guitar Hero Live. Awful game.
Okay.
It just once again killed the market. But thankfully, Rock Band is still kicking. Hopefully, they could find a new hardware manufacturer because a lot of people are trying to get into the game again.
Yeah.
Like the Rock Band subreddit. Daily, there's someone's like, hey, I want to get into Rock Band. How can I find instruments?
Yeah.
Good fucking luck. That's how.
I know. I wouldn't mind to have got instruments and let the girls play because my kids are weirdly musically inclined and I don't know where they get it from. But number one loves rhythm games. She just can't find any to play that aren't on her phone anymore. So that's where she plays them.
Check Facebook Marketplace. Check your local thrift stores. If you could find any Xbox instruments that are wireless, there are ways to make them work. So.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, rednecks don't play.
Hey, you never know. Check Facebook Marketplace. Like you might find something.
So
people have found some hauls already. So.
Huh.
Anyway, should we move on to reviews?
Yes.
Not too many this episode.
No.
But we are going to start things off with Queen's Quest II, Stories of Forgotten Past, developed by Brave Giant, published by Artifacts Mundi, released February 22nd on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99, coming March 1st to the Switch. I had that written from last week. Ha. When the king asked a famous alchemist to look into the murder of his most trusted agent, the last thing the alchemist expected was to discover an intricate network of criminals working from the shadows to bring the chaos to the land. Conduct the investigation as a shapeshifter and uncover a conspiracy that threatens to shake the foundations of the kingdom. Cole, tell us about it.
Okay, so this is your classic Artifacts Mundi. Even though it's we have a situation where it's been developed and it's published by Artifacts Mundi, it's developed by somebody else. It still has that look and feel of being an Artifacts Mundi game. You know what you're getting. If you've ever played any of these, you know what you're getting. I do think this is the first time they've ever released a 2 without 1 being available first, though.
Maybe.
I have, as far as I was aware, I had played every single Artifacts Mundi game. I don't have a Queen's Quest 1. So I don't know what's going on here. But we have 2. And it's fine because it doesn't seem to be tied into any other story. It has a very fairy tale vibe to it. You'll meet a lot of fairy tale characters, Robin Hood and Hansel and Gretel and the Sheriff of Nottingham are all a part of the story. you're playing as an alchemist. You're trying to solve, you know, some of these crimes. It's, I don't want to say it's bad, but it kind of feels disjointed. The story does. It doesn't flow together as well from the start to the end, the way that other Artifacts Money games do. It's also fairly noticeable that this one was developed outside of Artifacts Money. It's got that jerky animation between when characters are speaking and when they're standing still that the older ones that we've seen had. It's not quite as
it doesn't have that Artifacts polish.
Yeah, it's just a little rougher around the edges. Like the other ones, it's interesting that all of the games that are developed by a different developer and published by Artifacts Money, they follow that formula, and it's tried and it's true, but they will all drop the secondary gameplay mechanic. So when it's developed by Artifacts Money, you'll have the hidden object puzzles, and then you'll have an option to do a mini game instead. If you really, really suck at hidden object puzzles, you can do something else, play a matching game or play Mahjong or whatever's coded in for that particular game. Any time that it's developed by another studio, and this one is no different, that's gone. For a mini game instead, they have the transmutations. So your alchemist can be a shapeshifter if you find the appropriate items for different potions so that she can shift. And you will have to come across those potions and the items for them in order to progress the game. So it's not an optional thing that you can skip. However, while the lack of that minigame is standard issue when developed outside, whether or not the story has a bonus chapter seems to kind of flip back and forth. And in this case, Queen's Quest does have a bonus chapter. It's incredibly short, though, and it only takes up maybe 3-4 scenes at the most. It's a very short little blip, and I don't feel like it adds much to the story. Typically, with the bonus chapters, you'll get a glimpse at one of the more minor characters' story a little more. You know, how they came to be and where they were in the story or whatever. With this one, though, it's just, oh no, the witch took another child. And you're like, what? Why does this witch just keep magically disappearing with your kids? I don't understand what kind of parents you people are.
So casually, too. Oh no, yeah, what happened?
And they're just sitting there, like, at home, and it's like, what are you doing?
Well, fiddlesticks, it happened again.
Yeah. It's like, I don't understand this part of this game. It's a little frustrating. They just magically lose their kids to a witch in the woods, and yet they never think to move. It's very odd.
But the housing property tax is just so good out this way.
Yeah. I mean, I would bet it's fucking nothing. Although maybe not, because there's the whole Robin Hood subplot too. So I don't know. Maybe taxes are just shit everywhere.
Man. Anyway.
Who knows? This is such an odd one to talk about. The character never has a name. She speaks, but she's just kind of like, even though everybody is reliant on her to solve all the mysteries, it's like she's just kind of a placeholder person. And I just didn't connect to this story the way that I did the others because of that. Like, there wasn't any kind of grand reward to be had or any motivation for her to go do these things. It was just, well, they told me to, so let's go. And it was not the strongest Artifacts Money story. Not the worst. I have played others I didn't like as well. But this was not the strongest either. That said, it's quick completion. It's easy. The puzzles are a little on the too easy side. Like, if you think any of the other Artifacts Money games are too hard, but you like them, but they were just too hard for you, try this one. In the past, with other Artifacts Monday games, they have a puzzle. It's like, oh, put in these three pieces and then rotate the rings to make a picture. Nah, this one, it's like, hey, I found the piece. Yay, you're done. Okay.
Nice.
It was definitely not complicated. There are guides for every one of these. If you need it for this one, though, maybe puzzle games aren't for you. That's what I'm trying to say.
So it sounds like the Artifacts games that we know and love, story's not as great. Gameplay is, you know, what you would expect.
Yeah.
I'm hearing what we usually hear with Artifacts games.
I still give it a buy it. It's still good. It's just rougher around the edges. But for what it is, you're still going to enjoy your time with it.
Because it's Artifacts. And
there may be people who like the story more than me, but I don't know. I just didn't connect with this one as well. I've definitely.
Yeah, story's always going to come down to taste and preference. Yeah, so.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. For some odd reason, this one just didn't sit as well. Whereas this is maybe the second one where I've just been like, this wasn't the best.
But it was still good.
But it was still good. Yeah, it's kind of like pizza. Even when it's not the greatest, it's still pizza, so it's good. You know?
True.
So it's kind of like with the Artifacts Monday game. It was like, well, this may not have been my favorite story, but I still had fun.
But
so
it's still Artifacts.
Yeah, it's still Artifacts, and I still had fun, so let's go. And yeah, it's still worth it. Absolutely. It's just that, you know, it's a matter of preference and taste as to whether or not you find the story more enjoyable than I did.
Yeah. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Creepy Road, developed and published by Groovy Milk, released March 1st on Xbox One for $12.99. The world has gone mad and Flint Trucker must go down a long creepy road to get back home and save his beloved Angelina. Blast your guns across different scenarios to fight hordes of ravenous beasts and bloodthirsty enemies. Will you survive? I can answer that. It is no.
No. You will not survive. I'm sorry to tell you that.
You'll get your ass handed to you repeatedly.
Can we just take a moment to talk about how fucked up the enemies in this game are? What the fuck kind of fever dream spawned this?
I don't know, but I want whatever they were on.
Somebody broke into my med stash is all I'm saying.
Well, then I want your meds.
This is the only excuse for this shit. Like, there's bears on a unicycle, and then there's crazed clowns, and then there's a koala pumping some kind of noxious gas into smoke machines at a carnival.
And then there's a cow with, like, a rotating gun. With
machine guns instead of udders. There's the barefoot rednecks that are like, they stole my shoes every time they pop onto the scene. And you're like, what? Then there's the chicks with the selfie sticks, and they'll beat you with the selfie sticks and say, geez, and what is this?
Fucked up. That's what it is.
If you try to explain this to somebody, they're going to be like, are you okay? Do you need a padded room?
Well, fine? It's your job to explain it to us.
That's so. What I'm trying to do, and I just sound like I need a padded room. It's so weird.
Well, let's start at the beginning. What kind of game is Creepy Road?
A 2D run-and-gun, blast-em, shoot-em, just kill all the things that are coming at you. And there are a lot of weird things that are coming at you. They just are. You have a character named Flint Trucker. You know, no stereotypes there.
Not at all.
And basically, these weird creature monster things that have fucked up everything or have taken your girl, and you got to get reunited with her. And that's your main goal.
Then it's just proceed through levels, shooting everything.
It's so simple, and I keep trying to find a better way to explain it, but it's really just walk right, shoot shit.
To the
literal point that there is a ray gun that will turn the enemies into poo. Walk right.
I love that weapon.
The literal shit.
I forgot about that weapon. I love that one, too.
It's very effective. It works very well.
It does. There are a good variety of weapons in this game.
Weapons are absolutely insane. There's the fist that literally like sends out flying fists. And then there's the rocket launcher. There's the poo gun. You start with your handy dandy pistol, which clearly anybody named Flint Trucker is already gonna have. No stereotypes. There's a flamethrower. There's a minigun. They have their perks, but they also have their cons. You can't just like run around with a minigun. You're not running and gunning it with that bad boy. That has to spin up, and you can't jump when you have it equipped. So that you have to think about what weapon you're using. And also, are you going to be able to get the fuck out of there while you're using it? Because sometimes you need to be able to fall through the floor or jump up and get away, because the enemies can be a bit overwhelming in some places. Sometimes it locks you down to a scene and you ain't going anywhere until you kill everybody anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are other parts where you can just book it to the exit and not give a fuck if you killed anybody. It's fine. When you do get to the end, every level is capped off with like a summary of how well you did or how poor you did. In my case,
poor.
And it will show you how many enemies that you took out, and it will show you how many times you killed Flint, because you bastard. And it will tell you how long it took. One level took me 27 minutes.
Oh, God.
Because I was a dumb. The early levels, it's just literally go left to right and that's that. But some of the later levels, you get to where you actually have to go up and down, and there's a little, like, they tried to add some platforming, and it's not always solid where you're supposed to go. And so I spent a lot of time backtracking and going forward and backtracking and going forward, and like, where the fuck am I even supposed to be here? Only to realize that something I thought was the background is actually a ramp. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm a dumb.
Proud of you.
Yeah. And it's just like some kind of little indication, like an arrow or something pointing to let you know you need to go up or down would be nice. Otherwise, it's really straightforward. Just walk and murder.
Yeah, it's fun, too. Although I do have a handful of gripes with it.
Yeah.
The two big ones are I've gotten caught on level geometry while jumping a number of times.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Where I would just like hang in midair. I don't know what I'm getting stuck on, what I'm caught on. The other one, the voice clips get old fast.
That was going to be my next thing, is they're funny at first.
But you know, they need more.
they run out very quickly. Even when you get to where you're adding in new characters and new enemy types and they're saying different things, still by the 13th time you've heard it, you're like, yeah, I get it. Somebody stole your shoes. Let's go. Get.
Yeah.
Move. Carry on. Next. You know, and the, you know, my baby or whatever that one hollers. And then the bosses, they just repeat too. And that's, no, I'm done. I don't want to hear Hyperman say anything else ever again. First, his voice is annoying in the first place, but I definitely don't want to hear him repeating the same shit over and over. At this point, I've tried to block it out, and I don't even remember now what he was saying.
Oh, God.
I'm just done with hearing it. Like, if I go and play it again later, I'm going to be like, please don't make me have to hear that again. Jeez.
So, all the craziness in this one for $13, what do you think of it?
I do give it a solid try. It's got its issues. The geometry, I had that issue too. I had some framiness when I finally figured out that I was supposed to go up and down, then it would get a little framey if there were a lot of enemies coming at me at the time. So I did have that issue as well. I had the issue with the geometry and the audio. So I do give it a try. It just needs a little bit of polishing.
Awesome.
But it is fun.
It is. I agree. A lot of fun. I still give it a try it as well. And while I'm talking, hey, no time. Thank you for
dropping bits.
I fucking love when people drop bits just so I could play that clip. Oh, that makes me so happy. Drop it, bits. People wanted the clips. They got the clips. We made it happen.
I don't know if we're good people or not for that, but we did it.
No, we're bad people. We're awful, awful people. But next game to talk about is called Treasure Stack, developed and published by Pixel Lakes, released March 1st on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Treasure Stack fuses falling block puzzle mechanics with platformer elements to create a gameplay experience unlike anything you've played before. Instead of manipulating blocks directly, players control a hero who has the ability to move them anywhere at any time. Use your platforming skills to navigate the playfield, snatch falling blocks with the grapple, and stack them to create matches. What is Treasure Stack?
Well, you pretty much hit the nail on the head.
Cool. So for $20, what do you?
It's another one of those games that's just super simple on the surface. It's easy to pick up. Literally anybody that has played any kind of match game would be like, yeah, I could play this. But if you're gonna actually try to master the game, you need to put the time in. And there's going to be some skill involved. It's basically a match game. And that treasure chest will fall from the top of the screen. You can use a grapple hook, grab a hold of them, pull them down, and it helps, like, speed things up. Or you can just let them fall as they will. You get a preview of the blocks that are going to fall. I keep saying blocks. They're treasure chests. You get a preview of what's about to fall. And you get an indicator of which row, column, they're about to fall into. So you can kind of plan it that way as to whether or not they're going to land where you want and be useful to you. But you really need to learn how to organize the stacks in such a way that you're going to clear out large bits of them at a time. And also not fuck yourself over when the game tries to fuck you. The treasure chests don't disappear whenever you get a stack of them. You want to try to stack the color so that the colors are the same. And they drop in twos. You can separate them once they fall, though. You can move one at a time if you want to, or you can move a whole column if you want. Apparently your little character is super strong. I want what they're having. But they can move, you know, either one block at one chest at a time or a whole column of them. Move them until you've got them arranged so that you've got stacks of chests that are all the same color. And then what you need to be on the lookout for are keys. You can't get rid of a stack of chests until you match it with a key of the same color. Now, how many chests can be opened with one key is as long as they're touching. Does that make sense? Like, it's not limited to just, oh, touch the key. If a purple chest is touching a purple chest and touching another purple chest, and you drop a purple key on any one of those three chests, they're all going to go poof and clear that out. So you want to try to make large areas, but you have to worry about the game trying to throw a wrench in your plans as well. On the left-hand side, there's a bar. And when that bar reaches the top, the game will drop runestones down on top of your chest. Those runestones can be moved, but the only way to clear them is to clear a chest beside them. So you can't just stack up three runestones and be like, well, they're gone. It's not going to work that way. You're going to have to stack up three runestones and then have three chests beside them that unlock with one key or whatever, and then it will make the runestones pop as well.
Gotcha.
As the game keeps going, it gets faster and faster. And, you know, just like Tetris would, it gets to a point where you're just like, I can't do shit anymore. There are power-ups as well that will fall. A bomb, for example, you know, you can pick it up and drop it somewhere on the map and it will take out a whole big chunk. There's a sword that you can put down into a row and it will take out everything on that row. There's rainbow keys, which will unlock chests of any color. I always found, though, that by the time a rainbow key would drop, I was already fucked because it would be at the top. And you can't move the top block until they either land or you move wherever you move the second block to. So if you put down a block where the rainbow key is on top, it's just going to take out the first thing that it touches.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, fuck you too. Some help you were. It would be nice if you could rotate it so that you could have a little more say so over whether or not you've got the top block or the bottom block first. That's probably too much to ask for because they want this shit to be a little harder. They want it to be something you have to struggle to master.
And by the way, if people think this sounds similar to Wario's Woods, that's because it is similar to Wario's Woods.
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't played Wario's Woods. I saw other people making that connection, but I did not intend to bring that up because I hadn't played it, so it wouldn't be a good
analogy. I've played Wario's Woods, so this game has been on my radar, and I'm curious to know if it's worth the $20. The price tag kind of scares me off on this one. Just $20 is a bit much for a puzzle game, but if it's worth it, it's worth it. And I want to know if it's worth it.
This is one of those that the price, if you were just going to play it by yourself, the price is a lot harder to justify. But it does have online multiplayer and also local multiplayer. And playing it with somebody else changes it exponentially. And you just have so much more fun when you're playing it with a friend. I wish I could speak more about online multiplayer, except that I played early and it wasn't available.
Pre-release.
You know, so that's just one of those, that's how the cookie crumbles. I don't know much about that beyond. I do know that they are going to handle it competitively with seasons based on the achievements and the stat pages that were available to me.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's even an achievement for getting into the gold with during a season. So I don't know how hard that will be. I know I was doing way better than my daughter, but I don't know that I was doing particularly well overall. although it's still good solo. There's just, you're not doing anything but trying to break your own score.
Yeah.
You can progress. In a way, you'll unlock extra characters and extra grappling icons. It's all cosmetic. It doesn't affect how you actually play. But when you're playing solo, at the end, you'll get XP based on how well you did. And however much XP gives you a certain amount of loot crates. And then the loot crates have the cosmetic items in them. That said, despite having the loot crate thing, there's no microtransactions or anything like that. You can't buy the cosmetics. You just have to play. It's just keep playing. So they're not trying to gouge anybody in that regard. You can just spend your time playing and it's fine. But yeah, I wish I could say a little more about how the multiplayer functions online. It's just that the cookie crumbles. I was pre-release. I play at weird ass hours of the day. So even if there was somebody else on playing, it was probably not when I was.
Yeah.
That's just the unfortunate part. I do really think this is worth the $20 price tag. I wish that there were like, maybe if you picked a different character than the background screen behind the play zone. I wish that changed along with the characters that you picked. Like at one point I was playing as a dragon. Another part I was a mage with a little potion bottle for a grappling hook. So, I mean, it's cute that they've gone in and given all these different characters, but it doesn't affect literally anything.
No.
At least if it affected like the surrounding screen, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah. Wishful thinking. I don't know. Maybe
there you go, Pixel Likes. Like, hey, there's an idea for you.
No charge either. And also buy this game because I had a lot of fun with it. I think this was my winner for the week.
Cole's pick of the week.
Yeah, Cole's pick of the week. So this was definitely my favorite. I played so much more of it than I expected to. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to sit down and work on this for a review. And then, like, 12 hours later, I'm like, what? Wait, where'd the day go? All I've done is stack chests.
Well, shit, looks like I have to figure out a way to get $20 now.
Yep. Time to sell your body on Craigslist. I hit my microphone.
Hell yeah.
You can't do that anymore. They closed out the personal section.
I know. I could still try selling a kidney or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People prefer to steal those.
True. Anyway, one more game with you to talk about is called Goner Blueberry Edition, developed by Art in Heart, published by Raw Fury, released September 14th on Xbox One for $9.99. Goner is a tough-as-hell procedurally generated 2D platformer with roguelike elements, following the largely misunderstood and altruistic Ick on a journey to cheer up his only friend in the world, a giant land-bound whale named Sally, by searching for just the right trinket in the deep and dark places nearby. Cole, what is Goner?
This is the most adorably murderous game I've ever played. Like, everything is so stylized, and it's cute, and they're like, oh, Sally is the best! It's adorable! And then I'm just, like, dying to some kind of little bloody bat-looking thing. And I'm like, well, never mind. You know that a game is not meant to be as sweet as it is adorable when you die, and it immediately gives you an option to go visit death.
Yes.
It's not playing any games with you. It is a roguelike. It is procedurally generated. So be prepared to fuck up and die a lot. But
embrace
also,
the death.
Yeah. But also, I was surprised by how far I could make it, even early in the game. Generally, I will play a roguelike, and as much as I like the genre, I know damn good and well I'm going to die like 74 times on the first screen. It just takes me a while to catch all the rules. I'm a slow learner is what I'm trying to say. I try to just go in guns blazing and murder everything and then I die because that's not how roguelikes should be played. This one is far more forgiving of that. It's like, oh, I'm out of bullets. I might as well just go jump on something's head. And it's fine. It's like, well, go jump on its head then. And it works, and you can get through. But you will also find that sometimes it does not care if you jumped on something's head. Because you'll jump on one thing's head, and then something else will come and jump on yours. And fuck you, you're dead, do it again. Just because you take a hit, though, doesn't necessarily mean that you're out. You have a life bar, you have a couple of hit points. Traffic. You have a life bar, you have a couple of hit points, you can stand a chance. Even if you get knocked out, you can still like bounce back to your head and keep going for a little longer. And then you take another hit and you're dead. You're done that time. But there's a ways to salvage a run even when it feels like it's going poorly. The instructions are kind of light as far as this game goes. So there's a lot of trial and error, which I think is part of the reason why I was so surprised at how well I was doing, because it doesn't exactly give you, like, it doesn't hold your hand and say, this is going to fly at you, this is going to crash down on you. It's like, nope, here's your gun, here's your helmet, bye. One of the things that I thought was incredibly creative is that the world is literally drawn as you go.
Yeah.
There
I
are
love
areas that.
That
are just complete. You have no idea what you're getting into. And then you just go. And then it shows up.
If you remember that game Ink, the platformer that we reviewed quite a while ago, where everything's invisible until you splatter on it, it's kind of the same where everything's invisible until you walk near it.
Yeah. But it's not even just that it's invisible. It's just the game doesn't create it yet.
Yeah.
It's literally created as you go. So I think back last week where I kind of fussed about, now I don't even remember the name of it. There was a roguelike And like the, it popped up with a message, a new floor has been generated for you. And I was like, that just does not feel very, I don't know, organic. And yet this is the total opposite where you just don't know until you're there. And it just feels, it feels organic because the character has no idea what he's walking into. It's just, you show up and you either succeed or you don't.
You won't.
Well, I did okay.
But you'll die eventually.
Everybody dies eventually. But it was, it's just, it was such an enjoyable experience that you didn't, when you die, it felt like you died because you fucked up and not because the game fucked you. And it was just this, like, okay, well, I died, but I can do it again. Even though you knew it was going to be different, you still had that confidence of, fuck it, I can do it again. I'm going to get back there. I'm going to do all right. And you will come across, like, your tombstone where you eat shit. And the nice thing about that is that you can find things that you had on you when you died, when you come back across your corpse or whatever, your little grave. So you can pick your crap back up and try again. The platforming is more of a focus than the combat itself. You need to be able to navigate around the world. You can, you know, use wall jumps. You can double jump. I think one of the cool things is that knowing how the whole world is procedurally generated as you come to it. And then when you do a double jump, like there's a little ghostly shell, you know, like a shelf or platform that'll form up underneath you just for while you're double jumping.
Yeah.
And that adds to that element of things just poofing in as you need it or as you come to it. I thought it was a neat little visual addition. Gunplay is, it's super simple. You have a lot of ammunition for a roguelike, surprisingly, and you don't necessarily run out. Like, the enemies will drop ammo. I don't think that they particularly drop health. I never was fortunate enough to see an enemy drop health, so I came to the conclusion they just don't. I did come across a store that had health, though. So if you are struggling, you can top yourself up if you will come across a store area. But as far as ammo goes, like, it's just abundant. It's everywhere. Enemies will drop it. You can press B and you'll have a little pouch with some ammo, though it does deplete over time. I never ran out of ammo and couldn't deal with a situation. Some situations were incredibly hectic, though, all the same. And it was just, moments got rough. But it was a good pickup, because up until those points, I was kind of like, for a roguelike, this is surprisingly easy. And then you had the moments where things really picked up and you were just like, nope, take it back. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. I won't say that again. It's a creative, really charming little story with great characters. I love the art style, and
gorgeous art.
I think it's just a really good game. The music was good, and I adored it. I really did.
Well, $10, your verdict.
This is an easy buy it. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Even if you're not into roguelikes and you think that they're not for you, this would be one to give a try.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yay.
Well, that's it for you. We got one more review to take care of, but you weren't here for it, so.
No, fuck me.
So do you have any final words before we move on?
Play The Division Open Beta until March 4th.
And final game to talk about tonight is called Ape Out, developed by Gabe Cuzzillo, published by Devolver Digital, released February 28th on the Switch for $14.99. Ape Out is a wildly intense and colorfully stylized smash-em-up about primal escape, rhythmic violence, and frenetic jazz. Build up nearly unstoppable momentum and use your captors as both weapons and shields to crush everyone on your procedurally generated path to freedom. Making sense of all of that, Tim Ekbis, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Man, yeah, that's
deja vu, huh?
A heck of a, yeah, it's so weird. Here we are again. Yeah, I don't know. There must be apes trying to out from my computer with as much as shit is crashing here tonight and trying to record this review. So yeah, Ape Out. This is a game. You play an ape, a large primate of some form, big gorilla maybe, and you are escaping from capture. Initially, you are in a lab. You go to some other locales as the game goes on. And the game takes place from a top-down perspective, and it is very stylish. Like the environment and the characters are rendered pretty much in solid colors. Like your gorilla is orange. Like the human characters are pretty much solid white, and there's like some detail that denotes, you know, what kind of guns or whatever that they're carrying. But you know, all the walls are pretty much plain color with like just like minimalist details here and there. But they do a lot with perspective and like different, I guess, kind of color graphical effects. Like for one, like one of the interesting weird things, though, it's like, you know, you have this top down perspective and you see a wall, and in most games that are top down, you see a wall, you just like see the top of the wall, right? It's a mm-hmm. wall. But in this game, like the walls go up like to the sky, like, so there's like it's a very like 3D like looking down, and like just like all the walls and doors and stuff just stretch upwards like infinitely.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool, but and it messes kind of with your perspective sometimes when like they do a really good job. So it's like when you're around a corner, like you can't just see around to the other side of the corner because like the wall and the corner of the structure is in the way. It's really neat. And then they also do stuff where just various things will be happening in the level, like environmental things. The easiest example to give is there's like a level where you rip up like a power generator, so the power goes out. So everything is dark. So you just kind of see like the outlines of the walls. And the only way you know where enemies are is because they have flashlights on their rifles. So you just see like that cone of light. It's cool. I'll probably say
the game looks nuts. Just visually, yeah. The game is insane.
Yeah, well, that's like that. Yeah, this game has got like style to spare. So like me saying that like things are cool or look nice or are, you know, awesome in some way, shape or form, probably going to come up a lot in this review. But yeah, it's got just such a neat visual style to it where there's lots of overhead action games, I guess, like arcadey action games. This like really does some great work to stand out, and not just with kind of the level design, but just how things are presented. Like there's kind of four worlds, as it were. They're presented as like jazz records. That'll maybe make sense here in a second. But you just flow from like one level in those worlds to another. You'll like just go down to a corridor, and then it's like, okay, the name of the next level will like animate in on the screen in sometimes like very clever ways, you know? So it's just like, boom, new level, da 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 da, title, out into the next level, just like moving forward. That's very neat. Fast. Yeah. Another cool thing is when you die, it pulls back and shows you your route through the level with the big words dead in the background. But it just kind of gives you an idea of like how far, like how close you were to the end. And just, it's something that I appreciate out of a game like Meat Boy. When you finish a level, it shows you all the deaths you had along the way. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like a neat little thing like that. There's like, okay, this is where you were and this is what you did. And backing up that visual style is like an improvised jazz percussion soundtrack. What?
Weird.
Weird. Yeah, but it's like all percussion, and it's really dynamic. So it's like when you first bust into a level or a stage, like the music is a bit slower, but then like as soon as you start like engaging in combat, like it picks up. And when you like knock a guy back into the wall, and I'll talk about the gameplay here in a second, I guess, but there's like a cymbal crash to punctuate the action, and it's awesome. It's so freaking cool. It's really different. It's really not something what I expected out of this game. When I saw the trailer at first, I think, or I saw something about during, I think it was during like AGDQ this year, And I was like, oh, that game looks cool. That game looks neat. I like, you know, these top-down action games. I like generally what Devolver puts out. This looks like a neat thing, but just like this whole like artistic or bonus, like musical jazz flair to it is something I did not expect. And it's something that's like really unique. The gameplay itself is, you know, you want to think of something like a Hotline Miami kind of, in that it's very, you got to like think fast and react fast. So you have basically two moves. You can push an enemy, and when you push an enemy, they fly back a substantial amount. And if they hit a wall, they explode into a pool of blood. If they hit another enemy, they both explode into a pool of blood.
Sounds very bloody.
Yeah. Yeah, it can get pretty blood soaked. And again, you know, that red blood is like a stark contrast to the rest of the environment. But you can also grab enemies, and all the enemies have guns. And when you grab an enemy, after you're holding them for a few seconds, their gun will fire, I guess, out of like panic or whatever. So you can grab an enemy and their gun will shoot another enemy. And then you can throw that enemy at another enemy. you get different enemies with like, you know, rifles and shotguns and flamethrowers and rocket launchers, and some that have like explosives on them. And what enemies with explosives on them that you throw, they will detonate with an explosion. So if you throw them against a wall and you're right next to the wall, you will die in the explosion. Something to be careful of. But you know, if you throw them at a bunch of enemies and they explode, then all the enemies explode. But the fact that the levels are procedurally generated means that, unlike Hotline Miami, where it's like you could go into a level and you kind of memorize where the enemies are, and you'd be like, okay, I can go in this door, I can attack this guy, grab his gun, throw that gun at this guy. When I open this door, I need to take out this guy immediately. You can kind of like, you start to puzzle it through. And this, because it's all procedurally generated and freeform, you have to improvise and just kind of react to what the game gives you. So it's a matter of figuring out like, okay, just trying to get from one end of the level to the other, and like seeing a guy and realizing like, okay, there's too much space between me and him. I need to find some cover or else he's going to shoot me. Or realizing that you have enough time to run up on them and grab them and throw them at some other guy that you didn't see, but now they're there now, so you have to react and make it happen. And that is, again, cool. It's just like, it's a lot of fun to play, and it's just really neat. And like, yeah, you know, kind of like the jazzy soundtrack plays into the procedurally generated randomness. You know, you're improvising, the soundtrack is kind of improvising along the way too. It's something really neat. The only stone I can kind of raise against this game or throw at this game is the fact that it's kind of short. If you're just like doing a single straight playthrough, you'll probably be done with it in under an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. But
yeah, it only took me like 20 minutes to get through like each one of the four worlds or whatever. But you think about it, and it does have a harder difficulty. And it has a arcade mode, which is pretty neat, where it's just basically a timed score attack mode. So you go into a level and you get points for, you know, killing guys, and you get a bonus if you reach the end of the level with more time in the bank. And you just keep going. You just go forward as far as you can go without dying to try to rack up a high score. So that seems to me like you'd probably play through on hard, on the regular difficulty, you'd probably play through on harder, but like, the main replay value is going to be trying to like beat your own scores going through levels over and over and over again.
Is there a leaderboard function?
I didn't see it. I have to imagine it's there. I didn't see it though. The game is pretty, if it surfaced it, it wasn't anywhere in the menus. Cause I pretty much just remember seeing like, they're pretty bare bones. It's just what you need to see with it. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I wish it was in front of me so I could just check, but it's not. It's upstairs.
If only it was on a portable system.
If only it was on a portable system. Well, that I'm charging it right now because
because you were playing it.
Yeah, because I was playing it. Well, you know, and there was another game downloading. You know, at least on Steam, yeah, it has leaderboard. Whoa, no, that says it's a real shame. There's no leaderboards here.
Maybe it'll come in an update.
I think on PC. Like, it seems like it has some leaderboards, but yeah, I have to check up on that, but it looks like it doesn't have leaderboards at the moment. built in, which is a real shame. It seems like it should.
Get on it, Devolver and Gabe.
Yeah, get that in there. Just update it. Get people chasing each other's scores. but yeah, on its own. Yeah. Go on. Ask me.
All right. $14.99. What do you think?
Yeah. So if you are a more price conscious gamer, or you don't like foresee yourself wanting to score chase or replay it a bunch of times, it might be something you want to wait on. But in terms of quality of product, like, you should be looking to play this game, because it's really fun. It's really cool to look at. It's cool to listen to. It's just like a really awesome, stylish package. So yeah, even if you're kind of scared at spending $15 out of the gate for it, and you don't think you'll get that time out of it, keep it on your radar, because it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. It is very much on my radar, and you've sold it to me very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks crazy. It feels
really
insane.
Good too. I guess I like the action of like grabbing and throwing guys around. It's good and visceral. It's a very well put together game. I really like it.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks everyone for sticking around and checking out the show. Tim, do you have any final words to end it?
Ape out, more like peace out.